This recording, Texas 21, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. The area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her knit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Coma, Coma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Coma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began so tired, so Sarah was able to hold on to Coma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was fair price for a cure. My mother. My mother is very strong. She has always taught me to stand by my beliefs and my morals. And she's just influenced me in many ways. my first crush, that was probably in kindergarten. he was probably cute because he wouldn't be ugly. He probably had beautiful eyes, and that's it. It's all about the face. So yeah. When my sisters practically can't find a shirt, they blame me that I borrowed it when their clothes didn't even fit me. I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know, my sister's always fighting for clothes anyway, so they probably just find anyone to blame. Growing up around a whole bunch of Mexicans has taught me, the difference of, normal. I don't know, it's just different because, I feel like Mexicans, we don't have a lot of money, so we don't, it's very different, especially coming to MSU and you see everyone's, not being racist or anything, but they're white, you see how much more money they have than what you have. And it's you see how they blow money. And a lot of Mexicans, me and my family, we've worked in migrant fields and everything. So you can, we take more value in money than usually other people do. Mm-hmm. And that's just impacted me. And I just care a lot. I just care more. And we're very hardworking. I feel you'll never see a Mexican beg for money. You'll rather see them, do any little job, which would be sell oranges or whatever. I mean, anything. We just hustle. Okay, my family is, more than 50 grandchildren. So mm-hmm. All the family comes over. There's tamales, there's pozole, there's menudo. There's so many Mexican dishes. It's there's buñuelos, there's champurrado. There's just and usually we play loteria, which is bingo. Everyone comes over and, you have, a whole feast, a whole buffet of the food. And then we all, we pray to, before we eat. And then we just munch on the food. We eat, then we play loteria. Then we don't open the presents until 12. But before that, everyone's, either singing karaoke where everyone's already drunk and they're dancing cumbias or just dancing huapangos or all that Mexican music. And the little kids are playing around. Then when 12 comes, we all wait by the tree, open the trees, open the presents. And yeah, it's just quality time, but it's really, really fun. I mean, I guess I would say picking crops, I would say it was the worst because I got really, really sore. Like I went one day to pick cucumbers for like 5 hours to fill up this huge box for $20. Like it was so not worth it. But I guess that's where I learned from such a young age to like value my money. And like from there, I reflected like I do not want to do this. Yeah, but other than that, it can be my worst experience, but it also helped me grow as an individual.
Los tres cerditos. Érase una vez que había una mamá cerda que tenía tres cerditos. Ella los amaba mucho, pero no había suficiente comida para alimentarlos. Así que los cerditos tuvieron que ir a buscar su suerte.